Welcome to the Marketing Stir podcast by Stirista, where we chat with industry leaders and get their take on the challenges facing the market. And maybe we'll have a little fun along the way. In this week's episode, Vincent has a chat with John McWilliams from LexisNexis about his meteoric rise in the marketing world and how he leverages consumer data to provide both marketing and risk management services for his clients.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Stirista's The Marketing Stir. We are into season four. It's great to be here. Thank you all for listening. Also, ladies and gentlemen, let's pause. If the first time you're listening, thank you so much. This is The Marketing Stir, brought to you by Stirista. Who is Stirista? Just a few seconds. That's it. We don't take any advertising here. But Stirista, we are a marketing technology company. We own our own business-to-business data, business-to-consumer data. Through our own technology, we help people access that data, get new customers. Isn't that great? Email me, vincent@stirista.com. That is how confident I am. I just gave you my email address. And boy, are you using it. Sometimes not for what it's intended. Anyway, it's great. Like I said, my co-host, AJ Gupta, he is with the crew out in San Francisco at Ramp Up. So they've been there for a number of days. He wasn't going to go, but they sucked him in. He's the CEO. Sometimes that happens. Where am I? In New York City, where I like to be. That's okay. We're having some fun. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a great episode for you today. So one of our colleagues, Matt Stout, recommended this next guest, and I'm so happy he did. We hit it off, you'll see, and a great company. Ladies and gentlemen, we have John McWilliams. He's the Director, Consultative Solutions at LexisNexis Risk Solutions. I got it, ladies and gentlemen. Put your hands together for John McWilliams. What's going on, John?
Hey, Vincent, very nice to see you again. Appreciate it. Everything's going great.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, John, you're one of those type of people where the people who come up to me at these conferences say, I feel like I know this guy forever. And that's not the case. We've never met in person, right? We have a lot of people in common, which is great. Great people in common, but we've never met. We will change that because when a person is on the Marketing Stir, they become family. So we're going to change that. But John, let's get right into it. I love your title, by the way. I think I nailed all that. I think I nailed LexisNexis Risk Solutions. But let's get right into it. Tell us about the company and as well as your role within the organization.
Absolutely. So thank you very much. And by the way, you actually said it better than I do, because I always stumble over LexisNexis Risk Solutions. When you ask what I do as a director of the solution consulting team, I lead a team of subject matter experts. And our role is to be that, technically, we're the pre-sales technical consultants. And the sales reps lean on us to join calls, to explain who we are, what we do, understand what the client's concerns, problems are, and we help solve for them. So we lead the discovery call, we explain our capabilities, and then we suggest solutions and products and capabilities that can help them solve those problems. My team focuses on two areas. Number one, consumer credit risk. So helping underwriters make better decisions, understanding the credit worthiness of consumers. And the other area where I met Matt and team is I also support our marketing data and analytics as well. So I talk to marketers across the entire job spectrum, from the managers up to the chief marketing officers, learn what their struggles are, what they're looking to solve for. So let me ask you a question and tell you a little bit about LexisNexis, if I may. When is the first time you ever heard of LexisNexis?
Maybe about 7 years ago, John, just understanding the database and understanding, but I heard different things about it, credit risk, attorneys, legal. So yeah, it's been all over. Now I know a lot more about it, of course, being close to the organization, but what makes you ask that?
Well, so the reason I ask that is because in my role, I'm talking to a marketing person, a person who's been in the industry for decades, years. They understand the marketing data landscape. They understand what's out there, what's available, the type of data. And then all of a sudden, they're hearing LexisNexis Risk Solutions. What the heck possible way could a risk company help me solve marketing problems? So I have to explain who we are. So when you ask, hey, John, who are you and what do? I kind of turn the tables and I say, well, when you tell me the first time in your life you've ever heard of LexisNexis, then 80% of the time, now, Vincent, I'm on, I don't know, 500 client calls a year, right? Talking to 200 different lenders and companies every year. And I have to explain to somebody who's never heard of us why they should take their time to talk to me. So I say, well, you probably heard of LexisNexis. And 80% of the time they say, yeah, weren't you that research tool in the library in college? And I say, yeah, that's exactly right. So people will say, like you, Vincent, I've heard of you in the business, right? Whether it was a fraud solution or whatever. But LexisNexis is we're a pretty big data company. We're many things. We're the largest third-party data provider in the insurance industry. We're used extensively in law enforcement and legal and professional, that research tool. And then I'm in the business services group. We also do healthcare and government work as well, but I'm in the business services group. So we work with primarily financial institutions and other corporations and businesses, and we help them solve problems, typically in fraud and identity, fraud mitigation, I should say, financial crimes and compliance. Well, my team, as I mentioned, we focus on consumer credit risk and marketing. So about 10 years ago, we started leveraging our data or making our data available for marketers to use to help solve their problems. Now, you just gave me a bunch of time to talk about LexisNexis. But if you said, John, stop. Give me your elevator pitch. I'm getting off on the third floor just to increase the challenge, right? I'm like, okay, fine. LexisNexis, at our core, we're an identity resolution company. We resolve people to their best address in time. And we go back about 40 years, and we have this massive referential database, and we leverage that data and all that input that allows us to be really good at that identity resolution from the terrestrial perspective.
Very interesting.
Right. And so then we use that to help solve problems, that accurate information.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. And thank you for that background. And also, you know, I'm sure when I just received my mortgage for the new home my wife and I bought in June, you know, I'm sure that bank used your services. So thank you. I did get approved. And so I'm sure LexisNexis Risk Solutions had something to do with that. So that's great. So John, let's take a step back. That's what the company does. We asked this of all of our guests. How'd you get started in marketing in this business to begin with?
Yeah, you know, thanks for asking that question. It was kind of an interesting path. I started out my career actually right out of college selling insurance straight commission. And I became a pretty good salesperson. As you imagine, you don't sell, you don't eat. Well, over the years, I got into corporate communications. And what I did is actually what happened, Vincent, is I fell in love. And this woman, it had me so by, you know, she captivated me. And I ended up dropping everything and moving from Detroit to New Jersey. And now I needed a job. So I answered a blind ad in the Wall Street Journal. And we're talking the late 90s, right? I just saw this ad looking for an account manager in Northern New Jersey. And it was in one of the newswire services based in Manhattan. And I was there for about 8 years. So I got into corporate communications. And then as I was rising through the ranks there, I'm like, you know, this corporate communications is a really cool business, but it's a very small industry and it's a subset of marketing and it's a subset of advertising. And so I'm like, you know, as I move to the next phase of my career, I want to get into data and information. So after that blind ad in the Wall Street Journal and that experience with that communications services company, I am now looking and I got into the marketing data business.
Yeah. That's amazing. Say it to, you know, and, we were talking earlier, like I'm an Italian, you know, your wife is Italian from New Jersey. I love it. I love it that she brought you to the Northeast. This is, are you still living in the Northeast? Where are you now?
I am. So my previous company took me from New York City to Chicago. And then my wife, being the nice Italian woman from Northern New Jersey, said, she's like, Johnny Mac, I got to get back east. Come on. I said, all right, fine. So we ended up coming back east. Now I'm up in the Hudson Valley, New York. So really enjoying basking in the glow of the New York metropolitan area, but in the scenic confines of the Hudson Valley.
Love the Hudson Valley. Just spent my 10-year anniversary, wedding anniversary, in Cold Spring area, all that area there. That's amazing. So, John, let's talk about what drew you to your current company. You have a great experience, you know, a lot of different aspects of this amazing marketing business, technology business. What drew you to the current company?
Yeah, so thanks for that question too, because it's really interesting. As I was going through my career with that communications company, I had a meteoric rise. I went from account manager to regional director, got relocated to Chicago in like 7 years. And then they did a massive reorganization. Now I'm looking to find a new role. That's when I went into data and information and then ultimately marketing. And I thought, you know what, I need to find a company where I can feel really comfortable. It's a really good fit. I enjoy the culture. I knew it had to be information services. And I really fell in love with marketing, just the problems we solve, the conversations we have. So as I was going through my career, I was looking at these different companies. And those of you, please connect with me on LinkedIn. You'll see that I did a couple of year stints at some pretty big companies, big data companies. And I was looking for that fit. I went in as an individual contributor and I said, you know, I want to learn the business. I want to learn what the customers think. And then I want to grow my career in that regard, whether management, product management, whatever it might be, right? So I was looking at these different companies. I worked with them. And then I found LexisNexis. And it was a match made in heaven. Now, as salespeople, and I was a career salesperson, sales manager, I'm like, you know what? Consultative selling. Everybody talks about solution selling and all that. Well, now that I'm the director of solution consulting here, I started out as a solution consultant, and we really were that sales overlay that allowed us to truly be the consultants. And so when I joined with LexisNexis, first of all, they said, we need a guy that knows marketing. I'm like, awesome, I've got that experience. We need a guy that knows data and analytics. I've got that experience too, right? So it's not just how marketers think, but it's the data they need and the analytics behind it. So when I came to LexisNexis, it just married a lot of the skill sets and experiences I had. And then Vincent, what was really cool is the company, the people, the culture is just amazing here. So 8 years later, by the way, I had my 8-year anniversary a couple of days ago. It's actually 7 days ago. It was a week now. So I've been here 8 years and a week. And it's just been a wonderful ride. I'm now a director and I have a team, an international team. So it's pretty fun.
That's awesome. A lot of the things you said, John, you're talking about sales and then understanding the data. That doesn't always go hand in hand, right? So you kind of, that's a unique set of skills where you're able to talk data and you're able to, you know, have that consultative approach. That's unique. It's usually one or the other. So it really is combining both of your skills. The consultative approach, that's something like Starista takes seriously as well when we're talking to partners clients and eventual partners, where it's like, well, here I have this budget. I want to send out this. Want to know what are you trying to achieve? You want to send out 300,000 emails and get 300,000 customers? It's not going to work, you know? So it's that consultative approach. So I love that you take that. You mentioned a little bit, but I really want to just get into it because I want our listeners to understand. You mentioned some of the markets. Can you expand on those that you serve?
Yeah, absolutely. So thinking about the business services group at LexisNexis, we do work primarily with financial institutions. So whether it's the real large banks, credit card companies, the lenders, yes, we work with those. We work with primarily that those types of companies, but we also work in retail, in other corporate services, B2B business services, logistics. So there's a lot of different type of industries that we touch. We have consumer data, and one of the cool things about LexisNexis is we have 254 or so million adults in our marketing database. We've got 30 million businesses in our business database, and having worked for business data companies in both risk and marketing. When you can marry those two data sets, it allows you to do a lot of really cool things for a lot of different companies in a lot of different markets. So I'll pretty much talk to anybody in any industry. If you're selling a product or a service to a business or a consumer, we have data that can likely help you with your marketing efforts.
And I love it. I love the way you break down what you do. Because, you know, like you said, when you look at it, like risk solutions, risk, you know, people are like, wait a minute, is this exciting? What you make it exciting. And how I first learned about you is some of the speaking engagements that you're doing, John, at some of the different conferences. We talked about conferences in the beginning of the show, and I was touting, you know, and bragging about how people knew us. But, you know, let's get into the conferences, because, you know, you're going to be speaking at LeedsCon. Tell us about what you're going to be talking about, when that is, and you know, how people could come find it.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Yeah. So LeedsCon is going to be in Las Vegas in April, early April. I think it's the 6th to the 8th. I will be speaking at a lunch and learn there. And the topic this year is going to be fortifying leads and also making sure that the your lead channel is you're removing fraud and illegitimate leads from the funnel, right? So I'm really excited to talk about that topic. We talk always about marketing to people, not personas, making sure you have that one-to-one communication. So when we look at your lead channels coming in, and you look at affiliate marketing, the networks and things like that, what marketers are looking for are quality leads. So when I'm talking to publishers and affiliate marketers, is like the leads that you're providing now or that you're selling need to be of a higher quality. The tolerance for quality leads has gone, you know, there's a very low tolerance for poor quality leads. So what can these marketers do, or these marketing data companies do? What can they do to provide a higher quality lead? Well, you can make sure that the identities are verified, and then they're what it seems like it's going to be, or it looks like an illegitimate lead, right? Suppress them, get them out of the funnel. Do not try to sell that, right? And then when you have these leads, fortify them with more insights. What I love about affiliate marketing, what I love about the leads, that's that in-market indicator. All the work that the publishers are doing to generate consumer interest for a product or a service, and then passing along that signal, or that person who is generating that signal that they're interested in your product or service, is really, really important. But what else can you know about that person that will help you help them respond better, help you convert more leads, things like that. So that's what I'll be talking about. Data quality is really important as well. Then we also talk about linking to the digital ID and things like that. So I'm going to cover a lot in 45 minutes, but at a very high level.
That's amazing. And you talked about digital IDs. I want to ask you some questions, and maybe it's a little too inside baseball. We'll get to that in a moment about the cookies going away. So I'll get to that. But talk to us about, John, it's like, so you gave some examples there, but are there anything else that people could do when it comes to getting leads? All we're hearing is like, we still have to do lead generation, we still have to do marketing, but our budgets are a little tighter. How are you approaching that? How should people approach that?
You know, so budgets are, there's always a pressure for ROI. If you're not getting return on investment, MROI, marketing return on investment, that's always a challenge. When budgets are tighter, it just obviously puts more pressure on everyone to be more efficient and effective in what they do. Right now, I think Salesforce published, I'm going to go with the 22 numbers. This was published last year. In 2022, marketers were using 15 different third-party data sources. That's up from 10 in 2021. And I got to tell you, when the new numbers come out, maybe they're already out, you know, it's going to be more. So, well, wait a second. You just talked about budgets are tight. What do you do? Well, marketers need to become more effective. They need to become more efficient. So really understanding what a marketer's challenge is, what their goals are, do they have to pivot from an acquisition strategy to cross-sell, upsell? right? Acquiring a new customer is a lot more expensive than cross-selling or upselling any of your other products or services to existing customers. And it's a lot less risky because we know Vincent, right? Now, how well do we know Vincent? Let's invest in the customer experience. Let's invest in insights into Vincent so that we can retain Vincent, we can make Vincent happy, and then we can provide him relevant products and services. So frankly, what we do is we have very pointed conversations about how we can help, how leveraging our data or any other third-party data can actually help you become more efficient. I hope that's a good answer, but it's not like, hey, we can't, you know, can we give you a cheaper price? You know, it's not that simple.
No. And I like the answer. And I wanted to get back to something, you know, you're a leader in risk management, right? So let's talk about the potential deprecation of the third-party cookie. I feel like I've been talking about this a lot, and we don't talk about it too much on this podcast, but people are asking about it. So I'm glad you're here. What do you see as the potential risks and also opportunities for, you know, associated with the shift away from those cookies? And then on top of that, like the balance of privacy with that. I would love to get kind of a two-part take on that, John.
Absolutely. So let's first talk about the cookies going away, the third-party cookies, the deprecation of the cookies. We're a terrestrial data company. We resolve people to their best physical address and time. We're pulling in data and we're linking it very accurately to those individuals from a terrestrial perspective, right? So, and I keep using that word, but this is their offline, right? Let's stop being cute about it. It's their offline information, right? We're not yet into really deep into digital insights and providing a lot of capabilities for digital marketers, except in one area. As an identity company, then the data that we compile and aggregate, one of the main forms of identifying information is email addresses. So we have been compiling and aggregating email addresses. We have probably over a billion. And so what we do with those email addresses, it's primarily a linking exercise. Can all the different email addresses and permutations, I shouldn't even say permutations, wrong word, all the different email addresses that you have, you probably have two or three, maybe four, and you use them for different, you have your Gmail for YouTube, you have your, if you're, I'm not going to date you, but I still have a Yahoo email. I remember teasing people who had an AOL, right?
I have a Hotmail.
There we go. That's it.
That was my very first one. I still use it all the time.
Exactly. By the way, I've been nurturing my Yahoo email and just eliminating the junk and the spam filters and all that for, oh my gosh, it's almost like 15 years. I'm so proud of the fact that there's very little junk in there. It cracks me up. But anyhow, yeah, so I hang on to that. But when you look at all of these email addresses that people have had throughout their lives, in the digital, out there in the digital world, they still exist and they still link back to you. And I'll give you an example. My Apple ID is an email address that I haven't used in 9 years, 10 years. It's still linked. It's still an email address that associates to my Apple ID, which means it can link to my digital identity. Right. So when you look at email and email marketing, I'm not a real big fan of. It's a difficult endeavor. It's not as efficient as, you know, it's less expensive, but you know, it's and the rules and regulations and around email marketing is tough, right? So what we look at with the email address is to say we can help you improve the match rate to the digital ID. But who do we match? So when you look at creating those, and I'm going to say persona here, but I don't mean it in that traditional sense. We are going to help you identify, or your other marketing provider helps you identify your target audience. They built a profile. We need people like Vincent. We need homeowners who own properties of a certain value. We need professional licensed folks. So we need people. We want to target doctors, lawyers, plumbers, cosmetologists. We want to target business owners. Well, if you have a list of business owners that meet your criteria or a list of lawyers and you want to target them specifically, you want to target John McWilliams Esquire right? Because he's a lawyer, I'm not a lawyer. But if you want to target him, then you don't want to target a person like him or a persona. Can we find John? So here's a million people that look like your best customer. You need to reach out to them specifically. The email address is a really good, what's our way of helping with that? Well, as the cookies go away, and everything I'm reading right now, and I just read a couple articles today about this, is like, you're looking at HEMS, you're looking at MAIDS, you're looking at IP and all of this, right? But email address has, you know, everything has its limitations. But we've seen when we work with identity graph companies, we append all of these email addresses, active and inactive, to that person's physical name and address, or name and physical address. And you take that to your digital onboarder to match to the digital ID. We helped a client who had 750 million HEMS. We provided an additional 120 million unique email addresses, and they were able to link to an additional 20 million digital identities. So now you're targeting people specifically, right? So as the cookies go away, there are tactics and strategies out there that can help marketers still reach their target audience.
One of the things you said there, John, is, as you know, cookies and then what's going to happen with everything else. In my mind, you know what's not going anywhere? Email address. You know, I think it's like people, we're seeing, I think, a shift in some areas where, companies have never done email. It's really a lot of nonprofit organizations, a lot of people, financial institutions are, you know, moving over to that. But you're right. It's like, you know, but now you need to understand, as people are working from home and you can't reach them traditionally, maybe you would. And it's as many identifiers as you can to really understand, and also to understand the client and the customer, because the more information you have about them, the better you can target them, what makes sense for them, the less, you know. When someone sends me a really targeted advertisement for a brand, maybe that I've never heard of, I'm like, wow, this is great. Todd Snyder, what a great brand. And now I own like 11 Todd Snyder sweatshirts, for example. You know, it's really understanding. But in your case, I want to talk about some of the challenges in achieving the high match rates in digital identity graphs, but in areas like financial institutions where individuals may lack traditional identifiers.
You know, thank you for that question, because whenever I talk about our capabilities, especially from the consumer credit risk perspective, LexisNexis and our risk view is the name of our credit risk product suite. LexisNexis risk. See, I told you do it better than me. It's a LexisNexis risk solution. Okay. We started almost 25 years ago as a small consumer reporting agency that specialized in alternative data with one goal, and that was to promote financial inclusion, help the unbanked and underserved get access to traditional credit. Now, when we talk about financial inclusion, it is a big word. It's very much such a social issue. We need to help and consumers get access to those traditional and affordable financial products. I think a huge percentage of the U.S. population is $400 away from being financially destitute. They have an issue with their car. $400 puts them in a world of hurt, right? So financial inclusion is a huge mission for us. And so when you think about it, who are these folks? People who are aging into the economy. Normally I say into the credit market, but you know, to make it a little more specific or more general for this audience, those consumers who are aging into the market or aging into credit, and those folks who are new to country, right? So people are moving in from other countries, they're establishing themselves here. They don't have access to traditional credit. You need credit to get credit. It's the old catch-22, right? So how does that translate into marketing? Well, as people start gaining a public record footprint, that's when we start building a header record on some. And when you talk about compliance and the regulatory requirements around all of the data that LexisNexis provides, and pretty much all the data we all work with, there's regular regulatory guidelines and rules are so important, and they have their place in the market is so critical because we need to protect the consumers, and they need to be able to have more control over their information. And that's where we're going, right, with the CCPA, GDPR, and things like that. So when you look at promoting financial inclusion, or you look at helping consumers, any insights that you can provide for those folks is really important. Now, I talked a little bit about building that header record. So when you think about how do people appear in a database, for a credit bureau, it's because a bank furnished that information. For a marketing company, we're building header records. And for us as a identity company, it's when people start getting that public record footprint, right? So saying, okay, this is Vincent. Vincent owns a home. We see him here. He bought a phone. He has an insurance policy. You're living your life, right? And so as we see all of these different signals come in, we build the header record and we resolve you to your best address and time. So when somebody comes in from a financial inclusion perspective, can we help you identify people? What is their mode of living? What is their character? What are their personal characteristics can you see about them? At LexisNexis Risk Solutions, you're not going to find out who's a basket weaving, horseback riding golfer, right? We don't do that. What is their asset profile? What is their stability? What is their character? If you need insights like that to help you target your best consumers or best customers, absolutely, that's what we're here for. I'm a bit long-winded. I hope that was okay.
No, this is all great information. No, it's all well said. You're laying it out. And, you know, that is, so this kind of leads me, like you were saying before, like a great way to reach you, right? Check him out check on John McWilliams on LinkedIn. Let's get to, this is more the personal side, right? You know, we got the business out of the way. Let's get to know you personally. John, I have some questions because you traveled so much. I want to get to you, who your favorite sport teams are. We'll get to that in a moment. But a question that we ask every guest that seems to be the most popular question, and as the audience people are telling me when they see me, an email or a LinkedIn, it's our LinkedIn question. What's a LinkedIn message that you answer and that gets you excited? Now, what's one that's a pet peeve? What's one that you just don't like and it never works?
All right. Well, first of all, as a pretty much a career sales guy, I understand when somebody's reaching out to you, they really want to see if they can help you solve a problem they think you might have. So I'm pretty much going to look at all of them just because they just went through the effort. Now, if it's relevant to me, by the way, it's not as relevant to me or germane to what I do as I would like. So I pretty much, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to respond to you. However, I appreciate the effort, but I'm the wrong person. Now, when they're really professional and thoughtful about it, I will respond and say, ah, I'm not your guy. You should, you know, good luck. Do a little more research, but I can't really help you, right? But I will tell you what was really cool the other day, and I'm going to do another little plug. I have two open positions. I'm looking for and you didn't know this, Vincent, when we last spoke, but I've posted for a solution consultant. I need a marketing expert on my team to support our sales team as a subject matter expert in our data and work with a couple hundred different lenders or companies a year and talk about our capabilities. And I need a credit risk specialist. Anyhow, those are posted on LinkedIn. But here's what happened is Phyllis, and that's her real name. I'm not going to say her last name, but Phyllis sent it. Reached out to me. Now, LexisNexis Risk Solutions is part of a major global company. We've got a lot of resources. We have internal recruiters. Phyllis is a recruiter, and she said, John, can I help you out? And I said, it was really well thought out. I've got some ideas for you, and I said, oh, this is pretty good. Oh, I'm a recruiter, and I'm like, sorry, Phyllis. We have our own internal recruiting group. I can't engage with you. We have a process. You know what she did, Vincent? It was amazing. She said, thank you very much. I wish you the best of luck. I'm like, that was awesome. She didn't keep going. She understood. She didn't say, yeah, but if I just told you one more thing about us. No, she understood right away. A lot of folks out there will send emails and yeah, but you know, John, just, I'm like, no, man, it's not my first rodeo. I know what you need to do. I'm not your guy. Don't waste your time with me, please. And Phyllis was awesome. By the way, Phyllis, if you're listening to this and I ever need a recruiter, I still have your name. So thanks.
That's awesome. Yeah. Shout out to Phyllis. And also check out those open jobs. Are those still open, John?
Yes, they are. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, reach out, you know, that would be a first where, you know, people, you know, could potentially get a job from this podcast. So that would be awesome. Yeah. You know, because I have a background in sales, I'll answer it, you know, and what we also do, we have like kind of a Slack channel here at Starista where if there's something that a good email message that gets our attention, you know, right. A lot of people, here's the thing, like there's a lot of PR agencies out there who want their guests on our podcast. We appreciate it. Thank you. We might've only had 3 or 4 from a PR agency. When we get about 100, here's a little tidbit. Tell me you like the podcast. Lie to me. Hey, tell me you listen to it. Yeah, you know, then maybe you'll get on the podcast. So anyway, but that is good information. I'll just say not interested. There's a little button there. You know, I'll also say, look, hey, I'm in sales. I understand a no is better than a maybe and an ignore. And that usually gets it, right? But acknowledge it. You know, another pet peeve of mine, I don't know why no one ever asked me my pet peeves. I'm like, you know what? When someone, maybe we have about like 18 to 26 connections, and I'm like, okay, let me, you know, accept. And then boom, like 13 seconds later, John, there's the pitch. I'm like, oh, you tricked me. Yeah, you don't really have that many connections. So John, let's get to know you personally. You said originally Detroit, Michigan, right? So, but then lived in Chicago, now in New Jersey. Dare I say you're a Giants fan now? I don't know, but still the Lions? Who are you rooting for?
No, so here's what happened. And this is going to probably dovetail into another long-winded John McWilliams or Johnny Mac story. First of all, as a lifelong Lions fan, and I was at the Thanksgiving Bears game back in like the 70s when we lost. It was horrible. It was just brutal. So I moved to New Jersey and became a Yankees fan, which my dad was so sad. He says, you know, that's the American League. Why?
Oh, the Tigers. Yeah.
Come on. Right.
Can't do that.
I grew up, you know, in the 80s with, you know, Sparky Anderson and all this. Mm-hmm. Guys, so I'm a huge fan. And then I became a Yankees fan. And then, Jets. Well, I was Jets because the guys I played softball with were all Jets fans, and I'm in New York, so I'll watch the Jets because you can't get the Lions game in Detroit or in New York.
Yeah, only once a year.
Right? The only sports you get in New York are New York sports.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about cornering the market, so crazy. Okay, so fine. I'll become a Jets fan. I can hang out with these guys. We got something to talk to when we're playing softball. It's cool. I get it. Man, then I go to Chicago, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm just getting so tired. You know what? I started playing bass guitar in the 90s. So now I'm in a couple of rock bands. And I said, you know what? White Sox, Cubs, Bears. Then I got Cardinal fans. I said, you know what? Forget it. I'm not doing anything. This chest is for rent. You guys want to buy me a White Sox shirt? I'll wear a White Sox shirt. You want to buy me a Cardinal shirt? I'll wear a Cardinal shirt. Now my boss, he's a Liverpool fan. I don't know anything about soccer. So I'm like, dude, this chest is for rent. He goes, oh, no, 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 no. He said, I need somebody who's going to be passionate. I said, oh, brother, I can turn on the passion and I'll drink beer doing it. I'll be a great time. He's like, no, you have to really like the team. I said, well, I understand that. So Vincent, a long-winded story is I don't follow sports anymore.
Wow. Yeah. Now, well, is your chest still for rent?
My chest is still for rent.
Okay. Yes. All right. Yes. You know, look, the New York Giants, it blew it look good on you. So I think, you know, New Jersey will make the wife happy. And, well, you know, it'll be nice. So, you know, I'll keep that in mind.
You got it. You got it.
I love it. And I also learned your nickname. Is it Johnny Mac, people call you?
Yeah, that one kind of stuck. And I was just telling the story about a nickname that kind of goes with Fortijohn and all that with the softball team. I told him I didn't have a nickname because I just didn't want to seem kind of like, that I didn't want to be that guy. No, they gave me a nickname. It's not, I'm not even saying it here, but it rhymes with clap on.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it was not cool.
That's not
And
cool.
then my wife became she got tagged with it. She was not happy with me. She says, next time they ask you your nickname, you tell them Johnny Mac.
That's a way better nickname. I know. I have some nicknames from college I can't, repeat on this podcast as well. But that's awesome, John. This has been a great experience. I'm so glad that our listeners got to hear you. Check John McWilliams out, Johnny Mac, as we call him here on LinkedIn. Also at LeedsCon in April. I'm so glad that Matt recommended you. I told you guys, it's like I know this guy for a long time. And he's just up here in New York. Just come downstate, as they say. Visit us in New York City here. John McWilliams, Director, Consultative Solutions, LexisNexis Risk Solutions. That's John. I'm Vincent. AJ will be back. This has been another episode of The Marketing Stir. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for listening to the Marketing Stir podcast by Stirista. Please like and subscribe. If you're interested in being a guest on the podcast, please email us at themarketingstir@stirista.com.